welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levelnier. Stay tuned for Sci-Fi. Later on, it's Dimension X with their last program on NBC. But first, it's Suspense with a story called A Strange Day in May, a CBS episode from the 9th of September, 1962.
And now, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. In a moment, Act One of A Strange Day in May, starring William Mason, and written especially for Suspense by Michael Healy.
It could have been yesterday or 100 days before. I'm not sure anymore. Time has become just a word. All I know for certain is that it began that bright morning in May. I, Major Thomas Manning, U.S. Air Force on special assignment at Claymore Island, was on the verge of realizing a dream that would become a nightmare. I was suited up, waiting to be put into the rocket Gibraltar 3, saying goodbye to my wife, Mary. I guess it was the quietest room at Claymore that morning.
Oh, Tom, I wish I felt more confident.
Oh, Mary, easy. They'll be calling me soon. Honey, it's hard enough.
I know. I'm sorry.
You know, it's hard to believe. After all the training, conditioning, study.
Oh, Tom, I'm frightened. It seemed like a dream until now. I haven't dared let myself think what could happen, but now...
Honey, please, don't talk like that. It's really no more dangerous than driving a car.
Oh, Tom, you know what I'm talking about.
Look, Mary,
you... Will you listen? 2 men before you have gone up there and disappeared. Just vanished. Vanished somewhere up there. What's going to happen to you?
Mary, we've been all through this. I don't know what happened to those other men. We may never know, but we've got to try and find out. Somewhere there's an answer. Now, my mission is to try and find it.
Is it your mission to leave and never come back? What's out there as important as my love for you? My need for you?
I don't know. But remember last summer, the night you found me lying on the hammock staring up at the stars. Well, the nearer this has come to happening, the more the fascination's grown until...
Yes, I remember. You were almost in a trance.
Honey, I felt possessed. The universe was calling me to explore its secrets. It's that simple. And Mary, I feel I'm going to learn what happened to the others.
This is Maurice Tarplin speaking to you from the network pool at Claymore Island facility just off the southern coast of California, where astronaut Major Thomas Manning will blast off within the hour into the frontier aloft we know as space. It seems fairly definite that this flight is more than experimental. From the beginning, there has been an air of mystery and considerable rumor about this venture. We do know that it will be the furthest flight yet attempted. Here's a quick rundown. Liftoff is scheduled for 0600 this morning here on Claymore Island. And it's turned into a fine morning, so the takeoff should be right on schedule. I see Colonel Alvin Marks coming from Central Control. He's the head man in this operation. We've been trying to get his eye all morning. Now, if I can just get his attention now. Colonel Marks.
Yes?
Colonel Marks, sir. A few questions for our network audience.
Yes, but you'll have to be brief.
Sir, I just wanted to ask you if there's anything in the rumor that this is not just another experimental flight. I mean, if there's something going on.
Colonel Marks, launching pad reports okay for go. Tell tracking stations to check out, Lieutenant.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to comment on any of those rumors. I will say this. A great deal could depend on this shot, but you'll have to bear with us until it's over.
Colonel Marks, can we see over here for a minute, sir?
Will you excuse me?
One more thing, Colonel. Where is Major Manning now?
Standing by. There'll be no interviews until after debriefing. He's saying goodbye to his wife. And that's what I'm saying to you. I've got to go into him now for our final words.
Thank you, Colonel Marks. That was Colonel Alvin Marks, in charge of today's space shot, whose comments just now have left us about where we were in the running tide of rumors. We return you now to...
Hello, Colonel Marks.
Well, it's almost time. How do you feel, Tom?
Fine, sir. And anxious.
Good.
Mary, you'll be able to watch the liftoff from here if you like.
Colonel Marks, do you think there is life, I mean hostile life, on any other planet?
We can only guess. Possible. I'd say that if there is, it would be a far different kind of being than we know, but who can say? It'll be a long time before we know the answer to that.
Maybe they'd be like us.
Perhaps, but I doubt it. Tom, may I speak to you a moment privately?
I'll stand over by the window.
What is it, Colonel?
Tom, you remember what both the missing men reported just before they disappeared.
Seeing a strange blinding light.
Yes, a blinding light coming at them out of nowhere that seemed to gobble them up.
Any new theories?
None. Maybe some celestial current powerful enough to... If you can see it, don't get too close. Just see what you can make of it and come back down.
I will, sir.
And we'll be waiting to pick you up in the desert as arranged. Goodbye, Tom. Good luck.
Thanks.
I'll be talking with you over the intercom.
Well, honey, that's it.
Oh, Tom, hold me for a minute, please.
Now, now, it's going to be all right. I'll be down before you know it.
Come back to me, Tom. And, Tom, I'm very proud, too.
This is Maurice Tarplin at Network Pool, ladies and gentlemen. Astronaut Tom Manning is in the spaceship Gibraltar 3, which is being given a final check by the launching crew.
This is a precision operation.
The climax of checkout procedures that have touched every operational aspect of all systems. Excitement is mounting here. There is an ominous mixture of anxiety and hope in the air. Unless something unforeseen looms now, the flight will definitely go on schedule just a few moments from now. We switch now to operations control, and Colonel Marks, who will be in continuous touch with Major Manning during his flight. Come in, Colonel Marks, at operations control.
This is Colonel Marks. Hello, Gibraltar 3. Come in, Gibraltar 3. Can you read me? Over. All systems are go here, Tom. Good luck. Over.
Our vast audience is now linked with ground control and its connection with Major Manning.
It's your baby, Tom. I'm switching you over to countdown. Any final questions?
No questions, sir.
Three. Two. One. Zero. Ignition.
Tom, liftoff was perfect. You are climbing nicely. How do you feel?
Feeling fine. Chains are building.
You're programming well. Pressure okay. Oxygen okay. You'll be entering maximum G's in a very few moments.
Roger. She's beginning to vibrate now. Standing well. 36,000 feet. She's settling down. Cabin temperature building. Otherwise, okay.
You're still climbing nicely. Climbing nicely.
Tom. Manning. It's 2 plus 6 hours, 8 minutes. Do you read me? Over.
Yes, Colonel Mark. Time checks here. Colonel?
Yes, Tom?
I thought I ought to describe what I'm feeling. It's so still and quiet. I've been trying to think of words to express what I see and feel. The nearest I can come is blue rapture. I'm in a blue rapture. Maybe that has no meaning down there. I don't know. Colonel, something new is happening, or seems to be. I keep thinking I'm seeing something darting out ahead of me. Probably my imagination, but...
Not what, Tom?
Have been spotting something, but I couldn't tell what it was. I can see it, kind of glowing out there. It seems to be getting closer.
Tom, what's wrong?
I suddenly feel very strange. Hard to get breath, yet oxygen pressure is fine. Don't understand.
Don, you're being pulled off your course. Check your control.
Aye, sir. I'm trying. But they're fouled somehow. Can't understand it.
Keep trying. We can't guide you. You're not responding to ground control.
Can't do it, sir. I've lost control here, too.
Our tracking station reports have been pulled off course 40 degrees. Can you see anything more?
No, I... Wait. I do see something now. It's coming closer. Closer and closer.
Try to get away, Tom. Try and take control again. Hurry before it's too late.
Can't do it. No use. Coming closer.
What is it?
Great blinding light. Like an aurora borealis. I can't see.
What is it, Tom?
You blinded.
What's happening?
It's stuck in
the air. Tom, can you read me? I'm not getting you. Come
Colonel,
to Gibraltar 3. Can you read me? Gibraltar 3.
Colonel.
Come in, Gibraltar.
Oh, no. They've all lost me.
When I realized I'd lost contact with the Earth, I blacked out. How long I was out, how my ship landed, how I survived.
Major?
I'll never know. I never learned.
Major Manning?
But I did come to.
Major Manning,
oh,
could you hear me?
Moving now.
Oh, my head. Throbbing feels like somebody swinging a 12-pound sledgehammer against my brains by
Major,
the numbers.
Major?
Oh, make the hammer stop. Somebody, please make him stop.
How are you feeling, Major? He's coming around now.
Oh, I thought I heard a voice.
How does it look, Doctor?
He'll be all right, Colonel Marks.
Good. Well, Mary Manning, what do you think now?
I can't quite believe it, Colonel Marks.
Just proves out our theory again.
I don't know about the others, okay. But... Oh, this is uncanny.
Where am I?
Right now, you're lying on a cot at the base medical station.
Colonel Marks, is that you?
Yes.
Mary. Oh, Mary, it's good to be back. Hello, darling.
Hello.
Just hello? Yeah, what kind of a greeting is that?
Sorry, but that's the best I can do.
What do you mean?
Colonel, I can't stay here any longer.
I understand. It's all right. Go ahead.
Mary. Mary, where are you going?
Now, settle back, please, Major.
But that's my wife. What's the matter with her? Colonel, what is it?
Why, nothing, Major.
Really, it's remarkable, Colonel Marks. I never would have believed it if I hadn't seen it.
You forget I've seen it twice before.
I heard about it.
Colonel Marks, how did I get here?
We found you suspended on the fringe of the atmosphere and brought you down.
But how did I get there?
Possibly you were picked up and hurled there by what we sometimes call a celestial storm.
It must have been quite a shock. I mean, you probably thought you'd never see me again.
Yes, of course. Doctor, I have to get back to my office now. I have to make the arrangement. How soon before you'll be ready?
Another hour, I'd say.
Fine, fine. That'll be perfect. Just perfect.
And about an hour later, I was taken somewhere by two men from the rescue crew. I can't remember their names, but I'd know their faces from all the pre-flight tests. Strange, though, if I didn't know better, I'd say they were more like guards. Something in the grimness of their faces.
Come in.
Here he is, Colonel.
Come in, Major. Come in.
Anything else, sir?
That'll be all. Take a seat, Major. Smoke?
Well, you know I don't smoke, sir.
Oh, yes, of course. You do have friends that smoke, though, don't you?
Well, sure, so what? What are you jotting down, sir?
You've seen me smoke before, haven't you?
Yes, many times. Why? Colonel, I...
How was the trip, Major?
Well, everything was fine until I saw it.
Until you saw what?
The blinding light.
Blinding light?
The blinding light that the other two astronauts saw just before they disappeared. Sir, if you pardon me saying so, this questioning seems a little odd, considering...
I do not pardon you, Major. There is an infinite variety of answers to even the most minute questions. It's only a matter of choosing the most correct one.
Well, I'm afraid I don't follow, sir.
Perhaps you will, in time. May we continue?
Sorry, sir.
It doesn't matter about this blinding light. That was the celestial storm I mentioned.
There is another more important point.
What's that, sir?
I'm getting to it. But first, at what speed were you traveling when you saw this light?
As I sat here and listened to this familiar voice and tone and stare about these familiar walls, I kept thinking, this is unreal. Something's wrong. Something's out of sync. I was part of a puzzle.
Why did you land?
The pieces that make up the picture match, but do not quite fit.
I know.
And I wonder if perhaps it isn't me. Maybe my mind was affected somehow. I must watch
I'm waiting for an answer, Major. What was your speed?
I'm not sure, sir. The gauges seem to be off on my last reading.
Are you sure you don't know, Major?
Sir, if I knew, I would tell you.
Maybe, maybe not.
But why shouldn't I, sir?
You might have reasons of your own.
Now, what reason could I possibly have for withholding information from
you? What time did you lift off this morning?
What time did I lift off?
I'm waiting for your answer.
Oh, 600 hours.
And now to the point, Major. What was your mission?
My mission? You mean the space probe?
Come, come now, Major. Let's get down to cases. Call it a space probe or anything else, but wasn't your mission to get information about our installations here?
I don't get it. It's as if you didn't even know me. My mission was to learn what happened to the other two men.
I see.
What are you doing, Colonel?
Calling the guards. I'm finished with you. It's up to the doctors now.
The guards? Well, exactly why do I need to be guarded? Colonel, the doctor. What?
Hello, Sandy. Oh,
what? Colonel, I'll kill you with your own gun.
Oh, now look, son. Be sensible. Return that revolver. It won't help you.
No, thanks. I know exactly what's going on.
You're only making it hard on yourself, son. We'll try and help you if you let us.
Colonel, sir, are you all right?
Tell him yes.
Everything is all right. Return to your post.
Yes.
He's gone. Now what?
I don't know. I've got to think. Mary, I've got to get home and tell her what's happened. Sorry, Colonel. But I'll have to belt you one.
Give yourself up. The authorities will get you sooner or later.
There. See you, Colonel. This is my house. Now, oh, don't get panicky. Just sit tight. Run into the house. Get the money out of my wallet. Now, hold on just a minute. Now, let's see. Where did I leave my wallet? Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, must be in this drawer somewhere.
What are you doing?
Oh... Oh, Mary, am I glad to see you. You've no idea what I've been through. Here, let me pay the cab driver and I'll...
No need for that. It's been taken care of.
Oh, I see. Mary,
please,
I...
Please don't touch me.
Oh, Mary, aren't you glad to see me?
Why, yes, of course. It's just that I...
Mary, look at me. Mary, this is your husband, Tom Manning. Mary, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with everybody?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Well, then why do you look at me like I was some kind of a bug or something? It's like you're not even the same person I said goodbye to this morning. Mary, don't you remember how you said goodbye to me just before I took off? Mary, you said, please, come back to me.
Listen to me, please. I don't know you. Oh, I'm Major Thomas Manning's wife, but you're not my husband.
What are you saying?
They've tricked you. I don't know whether I'm doing right or not, but I'm warning you to get out of here before it's too late.
Mary, what are you saying?
I'm shaking and let me go.
All right, let her go.
Colonel Marks.
Grab him.
Easy, fellow. Take it easy now.
No, this can't be. This is my house. This is my wife.
I'm afraid that's where you're wrong. You have no rights here whatsoever.
For the love of... Colonel Marks, what is happening?
Better come with us, Major. Major, we're going to take you to a nice place where you'll get lots of care.
No, let go of me.
Come along quietly.
No, you're wrong. You're all wrong. Something is out of whack here.
Well, that's that. I'm sorry you had to go through this, Mary.
It's all right, sir.
I saw them taking him away. He didn't see me, though.
Sorry about this, Major Manning. Especially the day before your flight into space.
No trouble.
Well, goodbye. See you tomorrow morning.
Goodbye, Colonel.
Goodbye, Colonel.
Well, that was certainly a fright, Tom.
Hysterical creatures, our counterparts on Earth.
I felt so sorry for him. I wonder if they all act that way.
Oh, at first, I think. But he'll calm down when he finds he won't be harmed.
Strange, isn't it? Knowing that for every one of them, there's one of us up here. And so alike.
Hmm.
Why, that man has a wife down there who's exactly like me. What will they do with him?
Oh, take him to the Institute. Study him along with the other two.
Well, he'll get good care there.
Yes. And, don't forget, there's, well, there's something to be learned from Earth creatures. Or people, rather. I think we'd have to call them people. Eventually, they probably will be. Now, the way I look at it, it's a small universe. Sooner or later, darling, we may need each other. We here and our, well, somewhat retarded twins on Earth.
Suspense.
Suspense on Tuned to Yesterday from September 9th, 1962 on CBS. Three broadcasts later, the show that was heard on the network for over 20 years would be off of the air. You are listening to an hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Speaking of last broadcasts, what we'll hear next would mark the last for the Dimension X series, NBC's premier sci-fi show, which got its start in April of 1950 and would wrap up with this next broadcast. Another series called X-1 would come along to the network in 1955 through 1958, repurposing many of these shows, including this next story called Nightfall, heard on September 29, 1951.
Adventures in Time and Space. Transcribed in future tense.
Dimension X.
The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street and Smith, publishers of astounding science fiction, bring you Dimension X. Ralph Waldo Emerson speculated, if the stars should appear one night in 1,000 years, how would man believe and adore and perceive for many generations the remembrance of the city of God? Now, this was philosophically interesting. But on the edge of the galaxy, there is a planet which swings on its orbit in a cluster of 6 suns. These suns hang in the sky above. Never less than 2 shine down through the entire 23.8 hours of the planet's day. The yellow light has burned down on the planet continuously into the past, till the mind of man runneth not to the contrary. Theremin was a reporter for the Saro City Chronicle. He covered them all, from the night police beat to politics to the sports pages. And the city editor wanted him to cover the biggest story of the year, perhaps of all time. It was an interview, a particularly difficult interview. But then, since his first days as a cub, Theremin had specialized in difficult interviews. He didn't expect violence, though, from an astronomer.
You're from that newspaper? Well, you've got a lot of gall coming here.
Now, wait a minute, Dr. Aton. It's only a job.
I've read your paper. You've been riding this observatory for 2 months now. You've attacked me personally. I have nothing to say to you.
All right, look, this is your chance to get your side in the paper. I'll give it to you straight. 2 months ago, the observatory issued a press statement that the world was coming to an end. Now, that's the same story that the cult of Revelations has been preaching. And when a scientist backs that up, it's news.
Our conclusions have nothing to do with the cult. The cult of Revelations is full of superstition and mysticism. We are scientists.
Yeah. And you got the people pretty angry.
That does not matter.
You know, if I can't get the story from you, I'll have to go somewhere else.
Go ahead.
All right. You know, Dr. Aton, the paper can be pretty rough on someone who doesn't cooperate.
Young man, if you're not out of the observatory within 5 minutes, I shall call the police. Now get out.
reporter walks down the long hall from the observatory. The light filters through the high windows, the yellow light of Gamma, the brightest of the six suns in the planet's sky. Beta is almost at zenith. Its red light floods the landscape to an unusual orange. The planet's sun, Alpha, is at the antipodes. And now as Gamma sinks below the horizon, the red dwarf sun, Beta, is alone, grimly alone. It's a short drive from the observatory to Cerro City, and the red light glares from the highway. The temple of the cult stands, hewn from the solid rock of the Dormite Mountains, outside the city. And in the inner courtyard stands Sor, the priest of the cult.
Woe to the unbelievers! Their souls will rot with the absence of light.
Sor! Sor, wait! Your reverence, please!
Please, tell me, Your Reverence, what will happen? What are you waiting for here?
The day. The day of the coming. It's written in our Doctrine of Revelations. It came to pass that the sun, Beta, was alone in the sky. The world was shrunken and cold. Men did assemble in the public squares and highways. Their minds were troubled and their speech confused, for the souls of men awaited the coming of the stars. The lip of the cave of darkness passed the edge of Beta, and loud were the cries of men. There was no light on the surface of the world. In this blackness there appeared the stars in countless numbers. In that moment, the souls of men departed from them, and abandoned bodies became even as beasts. And the stars then reached down the heaven's flame, and where it touched, the cities of the world flamed to destruction. So that of man and all the works of man naught remained. So it is written.
Dr. Sharon, you're the only scientist I could find in the city. Where is everybody?
In the hideout.
In the hideout?
The place bored me. I wanted to be out here where things are getting hot. I want to see the stars the cultists are talking about. Besides, they don't want me at the hideout. I'm too scrawny to survive.
Well, now, wait a minute. What is the hideout?
Well, we professors have managed to convince a few people that our prophecy of doom is valid. We've got about 3,000 people. They're supposed to hide where the darkness and the stars can't get at them. We hope they'll survive and leave records.
Survive? Survive what?
Oh, there are lots of names for it. The cultists have their myths.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. What about that? What is there to these myths? As a matter of fact, what is there to this doctrine of revelation?
I'm a psychologist, not an archaeologist. How true it is, I don't know. But the cultists say that every 2,050 years, all the suns disappear, and there is a total darkness. And then they say things appear called stars. Of course, men go mad. They mix all this up with a lot of religio-mystic notions, but that is the central idea.
Yeah. Well, that's impossible, isn't it? I mean, there are always at least two suns in the sky, most of the time four or five.
There are not now, only Beta.
Dr. Sharon, you mean that there's going to be worldwide darkness tomorrow? That all mankind will go violently insane? What's behind that?
Well, for one thing, this is history of civilization of the world. We've located a series of cycles of civilizations comparable to our own, all of which, without exception, were destroyed by fire at the very height of their culture.
All right. But is there any scientific theory behind this and that would explain it?
The University Observatory finished their calculations 2 months ago. Tomorrow there will be an eclipse of Beta so that the planet will become dark. That eclipse comes every 2,049 years. Darkness comes. Maybe those mysterious stars that no man has ever seen. And then, madness and the end of civilization.
I see. And the scientists expect to live through this at the hideout, huh?
They plan to photograph the eclipse and leave the records, and then the rest of mankind will know what to expect.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Sharon, what is there in darkness to drive men mad?
Have you ever experienced darkness, young man?
No, no, but I know what it is. It's just... well, no light.
Draw the curtain.
Well, what for? If we had four or five suns out there, we might want to cut the light down for comfort, but with only beta...
That is the point. Just draw the curtain and then come here and sit down.
All right. Dr. Sharon, I can't see you.
Feel your way.
Yeah, but I can't see. I can't see anything.
Do you like it?
Well, no, no, it's awful. The walls. They seem to be closing in on me. I want to keep pushing them away.
All right. Draw the curtain back again.
The light. The light. Dr. Sharon, have you got a drink?
Right here. That was just a dark room.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't really so bad.
You're afraid.
Yes, I am. Just darkness can do that?
This isn't just a metaphysical theory, young man. It's promulgated from observed data. Come with me.
Where?
The locked ward down the corridor.
All right.
Were you at the Saro City Centennial Exposition 2 years ago?
No, I was overseas on assignment.
Do you remember hearing about the tunnel of mystery that broke all records in the amusement area?
Yeah. Wasn't there some fuss about it? The Anti-Vice Society had it shut down?
It was shut down, all right, but the Blue Noses had nothing to do with it.
Oh?
That tunnel was nothing but a mile-long passage through darkness. You rode in a little car, and it took 15 minutes to get through. Very popular while it lasted.
Popular?
There's a fascination in being frightened when it's part of a game. Absence of light is one of the instinctive human fears. People came out of that 15 minutes of darkness shaking and half dead with fear.
Half dead? I thought there were some deaths.
Bad hearts, but that wasn't the big danger. Now, which key is this?
Wait a minute, Dr. Sharon. Where are we going?
You'll see. No, the heart attacks were actually good for business, but there was something else. Here, I'll show you. I want you to see somebody. Latimer?
Go away.
Latimer, I want you to meet somebody. This is Mr. Theremin.
Now go away.
Hello?
He's pushing me. Make him stop pushing me. Go away.
I'm not touching him. What's wrong?
Latimer is afraid.
The walls. They're falling in on me, the walls. I've got to get out. Let me out.
You can't go out, Latimer. It's all right.
I've got to get out. Let me out. Let me out.
That sleeping period, we have to give him a shot of morphine. Otherwise, he'd bat his brains out against the wall.
Well, what's wrong with him?
Nothing. Nothing but 15 minutes in the darkness of the tunnel of mystery.
Oh, Doctor, that's impossible.
One person out of 10 came out of the tunnel that way. That's why we had to shut it down.
Why? Why should darkness do that?
It's obvious man cannot exist without light. Longer periods of darkness would obviously be fatal. The scientific theory is that the consciousness of light is necessary for mental activity.
Please, Doctor, let me outside. Let me outside. Please, I can't breathe. They're pushing me. They're always pushing me. I can't stand them. I can't stand them.
There you are, Theremin. That's what 15 minutes of darkness will do. Man just wasn't built to operate without light. There are always at least two suns in the sky, most of the time more.
Yeah. Just 15 minutes of darkness.
Now then, look out of that window. Imagine darkness everywhere. No light as far as you can see. Black. Everything black. And the stars, whatever they are, well, can you conceive it? Your mind wasn't built for that conception. When the real thing comes, you'll go mad completely and permanently. There's no question of it. Tomorrow, there won't be a city left standing in the world.
Well, why, Doctor? Why should the cities be destroyed?
If you were in darkness, what would you want more than anything else? What would it be that every instinct would call for? Light. And how would you get light?
I don't know.
You'd burn something, and every city in the world will go up in flames. Shall we go back to my office, Mr. Theremin, and have another drink?
Through the skies, the red sun Beta shines alone. The wind howls across the city. It's cold, colder than man can remember. And as the hour approaches, the reporter goes out and speaks to the man in the street.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, but I'm from the Chronicle. I'd like to talk to you.
Ah, a reporter, huh?
That's right.
My name is Pellet. Two L's. Remember the two L's.
All right. Mr. Pella, what's your occupation?
Power technician at the North Division plant. You're making some kind of a survey, huh?
Yeah, in a way. Where are you going now?
Home for supper.
Well, how about... what are you going to do tonight?
You mean about this star stuff?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, mister. It don't stand to reason that the end of the world is going to come boom like that. It just don't stand to reason.
In other words, you don't believe it?
I didn't say that, but it just don't stand to reason.
Uh-huh. Have you read what the scientists say?
I don't read stuff like that. Only the headlines.
Yeah. How about the cult?
Well, now, like I always say, I've got nothing against religion.
You don't believe them either?
Well, they've always been shouting about doom and sin. Listen, bud, when you've been around as long as I have, you get to know the score. It's all right to preach that judgment day is coming and all, but just the same, I'm putting money in the bank.
Uh-huh. Well, tell me, how about darkness?
About what?
How would you feel if there was no light?
You crazy? How could there be no light?
Well, now, suppose all the suns went down at once. Suppose everything was black.
Well, it's crazy. What's the use of supposing something like that? It couldn't happen. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's all. Thank you.
Sure. Look, mister, remember, pilot with two L's?
Excuse me, sir, but I represent the Chronicle, and we're conducting a poll to determine public opinion with regard to the predicted end of the world. How do you feel about it?
All this talk of scientific explanation. It's sinful, that's what it is.
Oh, I see. Well, then you're a member of the cult, sir.
I sure am. Been a member since I was a boy. My daddy was a member, too. I've seen the books. It's all writ down in the books.
Well, don't you believe the scientist's explanation?
Don't need it. Going to save my immortal soul. Going to stay on the mountaintop in a white robe while the stars carry me away to glory. Blessed be the stars. Amen.
Well, tell me, what are the stars?
The glory. The breath of the heaven. The spirit of the ultimate. That's what they are.
Uh-huh. Well, sir, the observatory has announced that it intends to take pictures of these stars.
Blasphemy! I sold my house, gave all my money to the poor. Won't need it anymore. Going to heaven with stars. Glory, glory, going with the stars!
The reporter checks the stock exchange, the stores. Business at a standstill. Doesn't pay to buy anything today. Not if the world's going to end tomorrow. There are predictions of economic collapse in the financial section. Layoffs at the factories on the edge of the city. And through the streets, the people mill and turn. Unsure, crying in fear or shouting with bravado. But the story isn't here in the city. And so as the hour approaches, the reporter goes again to the observatory high in the hills.
Now, look, Dr. Raton, if you are right, if the world is going to be destroyed, what's the difference if I stay here and observe and take notes?
Well, nothing, I suppose, but you'll be in the way. We have work to do.
All right, if I stay out of the way.
I can't be bothered with you. You'll have to leave, Mr. Theremin.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Dr. Sharon.
This place is like a morgue. It's freezing outside. The wind is enough to hang icicles on your nose.
Beta doesn't seem to give any heat at all. It's so far away.
Why aren't you in the hideout, Sharon?
Me? I'm part of the race that isn't worth perpetuating. Who's got a bottle?
There will be no alcohol today. It would be too easy to get my men drunk. I can't afford to tempt them. Well, all right, Thurman, you can stay, but keep out of the way.
Well, thank you, Doctor.
Well, gentlemen, I think it's time we took our positions. The observatory dome is up these stairs.
Yes, sir. After you, Doctor. What's
that? The dome, quick.
What is it?
The plate. The photographic plate. They're all smashed.
There he is. A cultist.
He's going for the telescope. After him.
I've got him. This one must be destroyed. It must be.
It's all right. It's all right. He didn't harm anything. Let him up.
Well, that's the high priest, Dr. Radon. Sor is his name. I was talking to him yesterday.
What do you want, Sor?
Nothing that you would give me of your own free will.
I made a bargain with the cult to give me certain data you had. In return, I promised to prove the essential truth of the creed.
There was no need to prove that. Stands proved by the doctrine of revelations.
I offered scientific backing for you believers.
You made of the darkness and the stars a natural phenomenon, removed all its real significance. That was blasphemy.
The facts exist.
Your facts are a fraud and a delusion.
How do you know?
I know.
I suppose you think in trying to warn the world against the menace of madness, we are placing souls in jeopardy. Well, we have not succeeded, if that makes you feel better.
Your devilish instruments must be destroyed. We obey the will of the stars.
Someone call the police in Cerro City.
There's no time for that. Let me handle this. The eclipse is only a few minutes away. Look, Saw, will you give your word of honor to cause no trouble?
I will not.
Listen, just as soon as the eclipse starts, we're going to take you and put you in a closet with the door closed, and you'll stay there. Then you won't see the darkness, and you won't see the stars. And that means the loss of your immortal soul according to the cult. All right now, will you give your word of honor?
You have it. You will all be damned for your deeds of today.
Look! Cameras.
Yes, sir.
Check the exposures carefully.
We will, sir.
You're shaking, Mr. Theremin.
Well, I don't feel very well, that's all.
You're not losing your nerve?
No, I'm just not used to this.
You could probably make the hideout.
Now, look, I've been assigned to cover a story and intend to cover it.
Professional honor?
Yeah. And I'd give my right arm for a bottle right now. I need a drink. What's that?
The cultist. That's the doctrine of revelations.
Well, I don't understand it.
He's chanting some old cycle language. The doctrine of revelations was originally written in it. There are probably 2 million people in Cerro City who are trying to join the cult. One gigantic revival.
Well, Dr. Sharon, how do the cultists manage to keep the doctrine of revelations going from cycle to cycle? If everyone goes mad, who wrote this doctrine?
There are some people who don't see the stars, the blind. They would have memories, and that, combined with the confused, incoherent babbling of the mad, form the basis for the doctrine of revelations. The cult will be riding high down there in the city. I hope they make the most of it.
Dr. Sharon. I've just heard from the hideout on private line.
They're in trouble?
They are safe. But the city is in shambles. You have no idea.
It'll get worse. What are you shaking about, Doctor? How do you feel?
I don't understand. The cultists are rousing the people to storm the observatory, promising them salvation, promising them anything.
How long till the total eclipse?
An hour. I'm going to check those cameras.
It's a gamble. It'll take time to get a mob out here. If the darkness comes first, we're all right. Look at Beta.
Yeah, it's cut in half.
It's getting darker. An interesting phenomenon.
My collar's suddenly tight.
Are you having any difficulty in breathing?
No. Why?
Difficulty in breathing is one of the first symptoms we've experimented.
I'm cold. It seems to be getting colder.
We'd better keep our minds on something else.
Yeah.
One of the astronomers has a theory about the stars. He thinks they may be suns that are too far away to see in the light. He developed a fantasy about a planet revolving around one sun. It's a mathematical possibility. Of course, there couldn't be any life. part of the planet would always be dark and without light. Well, it's obvious. Without light, there can't be any life.
It's time for the artificial light. We can't read the instruments.
Artificial light?
One of the researchers in the university worked it out. It's animal grease packed around a wick. Here, I'll light it with this spark.
Why, it's beautiful. Yellow light after 4 hours of red. It's beautiful. Light. Light.
The dome is quiet. The priest in his yellow robe sways slowly as his lips move in the ancient tongue. Over and over he whispers the invocation to the stars. The technicians hunch over the instruments, and the sky gradually turns a horrible deep purple red. The air grows denser. Dusk, like a palpable entity, enters the room. The dancing circle of yellow light about the torches etches itself into ever sharper distinction against the ever-gathering grayness beyond. Outside, Beta is a mere smoldering splendor, taking a last look at the world. The western horizon in the direction of the city is lost in darkness, and along the highway to the observatory surges a menacing, shadowy mass.
The mob from the city. They're coming.
How long till total eclipse?
15 minutes. But that mob will be here in five.
We'll hold them off. Come on, Thurman, downstairs.
No, wait a minute. There's no light down there.
We have to block the door. Come on.
I can't breathe. I can't go down there.
Take a torch. We'll take light with us. Come on. Atten! Atten!
I'm here. Did you bar the door?
They won't get in.
All right now, everybody. 1 minute till totality. 1 minute. Just before totality, I'm changing the plate. That will leave one of you for each camera. Now remember, if you feel yourself going, get away from the camera.
It's dark. It's getting dark.
Sharon! Sharon, where are you? I can't see you.
I'm
Sharon.
Right here.
30 seconds.
Ah! Look out, the priest!
I can't see him!
And the wicked shall perish. And the souls of the true believers shall be transported in glory to the stars.
You can see him against the torch.
Don't let him get to the telescope.
From the stars there reached down a heavenly flame. And where it touched, the cities of the world flamed to utter destruction.
Grab him! Grab him!
I'll take care of him.
The world must be destroyed by the stars!
I got him!
5 seconds to totality. 4, 3, 2, 1.
The sky is black, and through it shine the stars. 30,000 minute suns shine down in soul-searing splendor. It's more frightening in its awful indifference than the bitter wind that shivers across the horrible, cold, bleak world.
The stars. The stars!
The stars!
The walls! The walls are coming in on me! They're coming in! Light! Light!
Darkness! Light! Forever and ever and ever, and the walls are breaking in! We did not know!
On the horizon in the direction of the city, a crimson glow begins growing. 1,000 fires strengthen in brightness that is not the glow of the sun. 1,000,000 fires as a world mad in the darkness screams in terror for the light. The night has come again. You You have just heard another adventure into the unknown world of the future. The world of...
Dimension X.
With this program, Dimension X concludes the present series. We hope to return to the air in the near future. Watch your local newspaper and listen to your local station for the resumption of the series.
Dimension X is presented, transcribed each week by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Street & Smith, publishers of the magazine Astounding Science Fiction. Today, Dimension X has presented Nightfall, written for radio by Ernest Kinoy from the story by Isaac Asimov. Featured in the cast were Lyle Soudreau as the reporter, Cameron Prudhomme as the astronomer, and John McGovern as the psychologist. Your host, Norman Rose. Music by Bert Behrman. Dimension X is produced by William Welch and directed by Fred Way.
Dimension X, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 29th of September, 1951, on NBC, marking the last for that series. And so ends this hour of sci-fi on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.